morning at 9 with tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Mike. And now, the man whose first words were location, location, location. Here's Mike Kelly.
Good morning, Sonoma County. Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour, heard every, and I mean every, Sunday morning, right here on the News and Talk of Sonoma County, 1350 KSRO, also 103.5 FM, 94.5 FM. People always say, what do you know that so well? I said, because we have these big screens in front of us that say KSRO on it. So that's why I can tell Joe.
So they know your memory isn't that good.
My age, I mean, right now I'm just kind of wondering if I'm going to be coughing because of the air quality.
Oh,
gosh.
It looks a little better today.
My poor wife sounds like I'm in bed with a stevedore. She's like, go to She's got really subject to that air. It's horrible.
Yep, it is.
Yeah, well, we have a great guest today, and you've probably seen her name and her beautiful picture on the blogs and the Facebook. Okay, Juliana Brockway is here, and she is an attorney and working with Estates and Trusts. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing great today.
How's the air treating you? Are you getting okay? Do your kids have any problems?
My kids are having problems, and I actually have a great idea for people out there because I have a three-year-old, and those masks fit her whole face.
Really?
So if anyone wants to come up with a toddler-sized mask,
we would
appreciate that.
Really? She has a little, the Title IX ones or something?
Yes,
where they have, you can pinch the thing and it get that suction going on.
Oh, the whole face is in there, yeah. Because my husband's pretty serious about it.
That could probably be, maybe a benefit too,
Maybe.
Hey, kid, put the mask on.
I know, right?
Well, I wanted to bring Juliana here because she is, number one, a great attorney. There's a lot of folks who responded really well to her when I said she was going to come onto the air. One of those, George Adair, who's is one of the Ask the Experts here on KSRO and is a lender. Who I've had a pleasure of doing business with. Actually, he bought one of the listings I had because he's a big cycle guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he bought this property in Windsor that actually had a gate that goes right into the regional park.
Oh, yes.
So he all he could see was
the writing. Yeah.
His wife's going, but what about? He goes, the writing is so great.
I live by Annadel, same thing.
Now, your husband's a writer too?
Oh, gosh. Twice a week he commutes to Sonoma on his bike to work and every day on the bike.
Wow, good for
him.
Yeah,
he wears a Superman outfit, we call it.
Yeah. So how's he doing with the air, though? Is he?
That's been rough because he's been cranky because he hasn't been able to ride this week.
Yeah.
Yesterday he drove out to Boonville. Yesterday morning took
Boonville.
A 2-hour drive up north.
Really?
Because he said the air quality was slightly better. He was monitoring it all Friday during our date night.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. Dear, hello. Well,
yes.
Come on. I'm gonna get the air here.
I welcome all the cycling widows today.
Yes. Hello. Well, it's really interesting because we drove up to Boonville about 3 weeks ago. My wife and I went all the way up to Mendocino.
Yes.
And the colors up there have changed dramatically versus here. They're still kind of waiting for them, but up there it's fabulous.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous up there.
It is beautiful up there.
So what do? They ride out past Navarro and go out to the coast?
I don't know what he did. He's been riding forever. We've been married a long time. So when he says, I just say, good luck, honey. Call me on the way back. No boars. Make sure there's no boars after you.
Yeah.
That happens at Lake Sonoma.
No boars, really?
Yeah, wild boars.
Pigs come after him?
Oh, yeah. One time he was on the roof of his Subaru waiting for the boar to go away.
Oh, my gosh. I have a friend of mine, John Jones, who's a partner at Lakenheimer. He's got a big ranch up there. He hunts for pig. And he was telling me he was coming down from the ranch, and there's this male boar in the middle of the road, and he wasn't given the road.
Oh.
And he looked at it, and he charged his truck.
Wow.
And he says it was like a scene out of Hatari with a rhino.
He
came up, and he just nailed the bumper of his truck.
I've heard they're aggressive.
Oh,
That's why Eric was up on the hood of the car, the roof of the car.
Good place to be.
Yeah, right.
Yes, yes. That's what they don't get climbing, involving the climbers or something. But Juliana's going to be taking your call, 636-1350, and we're going to be talking about wills and estates and trusts, but basically how to take title to property here in Sonoma, or anywhere in the state of California, actually. And we're going to be addressing those issues because I have questions all the time. The big question the big thing our buyers are supposed to do, Juliana, when they do get into escrow or before that, we always say, talk to an attorney about how you're going to hold title.
Yeah,
because that's the biggest problem with this right now is that people wait until the last minute and they're looking at you know, Alice Noel, my escrow officer, they go, so how do we take title?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she's going, I can't help you there.
Okay, sure.
We don't give legal advice. I don't give legal advice. So you got to talk to your attorney, okay, your estate or trust attorney before, mm-hmm. guys, because there's a whole different, a lot of stuff you got to consider. We're going to get more into the weeds about that. But before we do, I just want to just touch upon an open house today. This is where I get to pitch my
properties. Oh, okay.
So have a seat, take a drink, some coffee.
Okay.
You'll be fine.
I'm listening.
So we have a new listing at 5421 Cassandra Way. It's up in Larkfield. It's just off of Air Mercado and then Firelight. It's the Condiotti tri-level, and it's a very popular model. People love that tri-level model, and he built so many of them. He built them in Roanoke Park. He built them in Larkfield, all of Santa Rosa. And it basically, you come in, you step up to the main level where the kitchen and the living room and the dining room is, and then you drop down into the family room.
Mm-hmm.
And then then you go upstairs to the bedroom. So it's mm-hmm. kind of a tri-level. But these people have done a remarkable job on it. The owner's a professional landscaper. And he was getting so much grief because he has this beautiful green lawn.
Oh.
And people go, you're using a lawn. And he goes, no, I'm not. And he had to actually get the city to come out and monitor his water because he uses a very trick irrigation thing. And he uses less water than all his neighbors were using.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But so it's absolutely spectacular. The house has been recently repainted, the newer windows. They put solar in. Their PG&E bill for December, or excuse me, for I think it was September. Yeah, September was -$29.
Wow.
Is that good or what?
That's amazing.
Now, how many kids you got?
One.
Just one. Okay. Mm-hmm. You'll be needing more solar benefits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's
especially,
on the plan.
Especially
yeah.
with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a really, really efficient house. They put new vinyl flooring in, a new carpeting, just gorgeous landscaped. I'll be there 1 to 4 o'clock today. The address is 5421 Cassandra Way. The property... we're asking $739, so come by and see me. It's just over 2,000 square feet, 4 bedrooms, and about 2.5 baths. So I'll be there 1 to 4 o'clock, and we'll announce a little later on in the show. Plus, it's all over my Facebook page, which you can go to, the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. And then just look up Mike Kelly on Facebook, and you'll find me. And are you Facebook? You have a Facebook page, my dear?
You know, I have a Facebook page.
You don't seem too excited about it.
You know, it's something that happened while I was in kind of college and law school, and then
really?
Since then, yeah.
So do we have any wild college pictures on there or something? You took all those
down.
No,
we do not. We do okay. not. I had to get into law school, so I made sure that happened.
Yes, you've got to be careful.
So, no, I think really it was for me, it was when I had my daughter. It was, time to tell the world that she's arrived, right?
Yeah.
Put a picture up. But
yeah.
No, I'm not super into that.
Uh-huh.
Not super
uh-huh.
into that.
No.
There is one for Brockway Law.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's
say,
been put
yeah.
together. You kind of have to have the page so that, you know, someone doesn't come over and snap it up and
sell
it to you from who knows where.
God, yes, I know. They do that, yes.
But no, not too much.
Yeah, well,
I use it to look everyone else up, though, I will say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's a lot of our clients do. They mm-hmm. they go to LinkedIn, they go to Facebook, they want to see what you're up to, what you look like.
Yeah.
You know, what do you really do in your private life? And
sure.
I always tell my realtor friends, I go, just, you know, chill. Just don't do everything, okay? Please, on Facebook, because people will track you down and go, why is she wearing that up? You know, anyway, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, Joe, right?
If you want.
You sure?
You're in charge.
Okay, good.
You're the boss.
So never tell me that. Okay, 636-1350, 636-1350. We're going to come back with Juliana Brockway of Brockway Law. We're going to be chatting estates and trusts and why you'd maybe need one. If you have any questions for Juliana, please give us a call. 636-1350. We'll be right back after these words.
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
This is Quinn Cook from the world champion Golden State Warriors.
I'm Kevin Durant.
I'm Stephen Curry.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Sean Livingston.
This is Jonas Jerebko.
Jumper, no good. Tip by Jerebko. Got it. He got it at the horn. Jerebko came back. He tipped it in.
Hi, this is Steve Kerr. Hear play-by-play of every Warriors game on KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home, and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
Petaluma hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday morning. About a pretty much happy Thanksgiving to everybody, because it'll be, when we come back, it'll be the full-blown Christmas. We get to play the song you know I love.
So is that next week?
That's next when we
that
come back.
That starts next week, huh?
Yes. I'll be home for yeah, I can I'm hear not, it now.
I'm excited.
Huh? Oh, come on. Be nice.
Actually, it just seems like it's going by too fast.
It did, I mean, well, you know, when it's they start already, having, like, they were having Christmas commercials 3 weeks ago.
Well, you know, and
Halloween
this has nothing to do with real estate, but my wife and daughter love Hallmark, and they've been showing wall-to-wall Christmas movies since the beginning of October.
The movie, though?
No, they don't. I don't think I think only TNT or what is it? TBS,
that's
one of those.
The Christmas Story.
Yeah, I think they have the rights
Ralphie
to that.
Ralphie with the shoot your eye out and stuff like that. Yes. My favorite movie.
So it's
I have. Matter of fact, I saw a 40-inch lamp for sale. Okay,
the major.
Oh, really?
Award. Yeah.
Oh.
The Fragile.
Yes.
What are we going
with the fishnet?
Did you get it?
I'm thinking about getting it. Yeah.
Are we going to give that away? And
No.
That's yours.
But I do have two other lamps.
Oh, okay.
We can give those.
You can take it to all your open
Thanks
houses.
Thanks for the warning.
Yeah. Oh, what a great idea!
Put it in the window.
Why don't they have one of those blow up?
That's why you have her here.
One of those 40-foot blow up things with the lamp. You know, you can put in front of your house.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's
that
is another good idea.
Is that a good idea?
We've given you two ideas, community. Yeah. Here you go.
Anyway, there's money in all that.
Money in all that stuff. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and we will see you. We'll stay till we're still the hour left, but when we come back, it'll be full-blown Christmas time, and you know me, I'll be into my Christmas story, and I'll be home for Christmas.
And your sweater.
I wore the ugly sweater.
The ugly sweater.
Yeah, I have an ugly sweater.
We saw The Grinch. It was great.
Did you see The Grinch?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
Took my 3-year-old out
there
at airport.
I don't understand the dog, because the dog is so cute. And the Grinch is supposed to be this jerk.
Yes.
You know, but he has this absolutely adorable little dog.
Yes. And in this movie, the dog isn't the voice of reason, as in the last rendition. So it's really sweet. Really sweet. Yeah.
I may have to go see that. I'm a sucker for cute little dogs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right.
Is there a new one?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, is it really?
Where it's, you been, for God's sake?
I think it's Pharrell. Pharrell is the
I've been
headline.
Busy. Let's just put it that
You've
way.
You've been busy.
I still like the original cartoon.
Yeah, well, that's
That's about 30 that's years old or something like that.
Yeah. This is a cartoon, too.
Yeah,
oh,
they're all cartoons.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
There's never been there. Did Jim Carrey play the Grinch one time?
Yes, and that wasn't a cartoon.
No, that wasn't a cartoon.
No. Yeah, yeah. That one was fun, though.
Okay. Well, before we go any further, we're going to start chatting with Juliana, just to give you an update on the sales, there's an article in the PD today talking about sales for September and October. And, you know, as you well know, the median home price was flat for the first time, I think, like in 7 years.
Wow.
So a lot of people are kind of going, ooh, that was interesting. Why are we flat?
Yeah.
And because October last year, you know, was kind of just a horrible month, obviously, mm-hmm. because of the fire. So it really just knocked the heck sled out of all the real estate.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we only have about, 900 and, when I wrote this down, 981 listings in the entire county for sale.
Wow.
So there's a population of 550,000 mm-hmm. when we have 981 listings. And right now, and of those, a third are over $1 million.
Wow.
All right, so that's kind of the market we're in. And as far as the sales are concerned, not looking good for the month of November. We only have 162 to date. Last year at this time, we had 289. So I think we're going to still see sales falling because of the way the market is. So in that light, so there are people still buying houses. It's okay. There's 161 people who just bought a house. Yeah. So what should they be doing? Because let's chat about that first. Okay.
Sure.
Eight buyers come to me and they go, I want to buy a house. I said, okay, fine.
Just like that.
Just like that. I want to buy a house. And I said, okay, fine. Who's buying the house?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we try to qualify them as best we can, or we refer them to one of our approved lenders here on the show, mm-hmm. Eric Goldquist being one of those, mm-hmm. Wells Fargo, and George Adair, who's been on the show before, any number of really good lenders out there. So they get qualified, and then they come back to me, and I go, did you talk to an attorney? They go, mm-hmm. What do we need to talk to an attorney for? You're representing us, right? I go, yes, I am. I will be writing the contract also. But you need to find out how you're going to take title.
Yeah, I can't give you legal advice, right?
Yeah, I don't do that. No, because I refer them to people like you who give them legal advice.
Who paid for our legal education.
Because you are an attorney.
Heartily.
Yes. Yes. So tell us, okay, the ways to take title, and let's talk about trust. Should you put the property into a trust? Is there a time when you don't need to put it in a trust? All that kind of good
stuff. Sure. Well, I find that a lot of people are overwhelmed at the thought of talking to an attorney when they're in the middle of a home purchase transaction. I mean, it really seems that more often than not, they come to me after. Clients that I already work with. So I work in the arena of estate planning, trust administration, and trust litigation.
Right.
So I cover all three gamuts. And in the estate planning arena, you know, I tell my clients, once you've come to me, just call me on these issues over the years. You know, come in, call me, let me know what you're buying, and I'll talk to your title officer and let them know what it's supposed to look like. But ideally, if you do, you know, just give a call to your estate planning attorney, let them know you're buying a property, and that what you're looking at is wanting to know how to actually own the asset, how to actually title it.
Right.
When I personally bought, I know my lender gave me this chart. And the chart, he said, here you go. And
how
I said,
buy a house.
Yeah, luckily I could look at it with some knowledge at least. You know, I don't actually practice in real estate, but I can look at it with some knowledge. And
sure.
There's options. There's sole proprietorship, which means I own it myself. I own it by myself, 100% mine, which you can do if you're single or married.
Right?
If your parents left you money and this is a gift and you are actually going to be buying something, but you are married and you want to make sure it maintains that idea of it being your separate property, then you can own it as sole proprietorship or as a sole owner, but you need to be able to note on the document that you are a married person so that it retains that. Later, you can do what we call a transmutation, and you can gift a portion of it to your spouse if you need to or if you want to.
Sounds like a 60s term, transmutation.
Oh, transmutation.
Yeah, we had a lot of that in the 60s.
Oh, okay.
Transmutations. Incidentally, by
yes,
the way,
was, and later we had lots of transfusions.
Yes, yes. So why would one want to do that, a sole proprietorship versus just, you know, having it in the trust?
You know,
are there tax reasons?
Oh, if we're going to talk about it versus a trust, that's completely different. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, looking at, you own it as yourself, your soul, it's just you.
Yeah.
And then when you pass away, if you don't have something in place like a trust, then you're looking at that asset having to make its way through the probate court system.
Okay.
Now, a trust is important in California because currently, if your estate, and we're talking market values, not equity in your home, you know, some people walk around saying, I bought my home and I love it, but I'm mortgaged to the hilt because that's how it is in California sometimes. And what I'm looking at is market value. If you have an estate that's worth over $150,000, your estate without a trust in place is going to end up going through probate, even if you have your will in place.
Really?
So the big difference is making sure that, you know, the big picture, what are you concerned about when you pass away? Do you want it to stay out of the court system for various reasons? A sideline to this, of course, is the real issue. What happens if we live to where 120, but those last 20 years we have Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or we're incapacitated?
Yeah.
That's where your trust also comes in.
Right?
Because you've put in writing ahead of time, who is going to take care of me and in what ways?
Right, medical directives.
Sure.
Kind of good
or stuff. Is it going to be my sister-in-law that's going to swoop in because she wants to make sure when I die, all of the assets are already aligned to her family?
Yep, I know.
As happens.
It does happen. So then somebody comes in and they will do that. So let's talk about probate because that's the key word here, because probate is very expensive.
It's not only that it's expensive. That is true. There is a statutory schedule within the probate code, which is the laws of wills and trusts.
Right.
There is a chart that says, this is how much you pay the attorney,
right,
and this is how much you pay the soul who's been nominated the executor or been nominated the administrator. administrator of the estate. Right. And it's graduated. It's 4% of the first 100,000, 3% of the next 200,000, and so on. And so it's a chunk of change compared to if you've got everything really wrapped up well, that you could walk into an attorney's office and ask for some guidance and go through what's the required protocol to protect the trustee. Right. But also, you know, when you go through the probate court system, everything is public record.
Right.
Everything is filed.
Right.
You are looking at a process that generally takes at least 8 months. And that's perhaps not having to actually sell the real property through the probate court. And, you know, you're working with the court. You're working with them to figure out what's supposed to happen.
We don't want to do that.
No. And you know, when you're in the probate court system, you know, a lot of families are blended families. A lot of families have addiction issues, have, you know, mental health issues, special needs issues that come into play. And if you've got those things really focused in on your family, you could end up with contests through that period of the probate. You could end up with people getting ideas. How many attorneys are there in California? There's a lot. There's attorneys that are available to represent you for whatever is your issue.
Yes, there is.
So, you know, it is. You don't get stopped from filing. You might get stopped from winning or from, you know, being able to succeed on the case, but you can always walk in and file.
Yeah, definitely. And it's always interesting when you do a probate sale because it's usually subject to overbid, and there's a strange format for that also.
Yes.
And we had a transaction a couple of years ago where we had a guy who was buying a property, and we heard there were other, you know, bids coming in, but we didn't really know. And we're kind of watching in the courtroom going, okay, who looks like a bidder right here, you know?
Yeah.
And there's that suspenseful time where the judge says, is there anybody else? And then it was quiet. We were looking around and he goes, okay, that sale goes through.
Yeah.
But it's always interesting when you get into that. If you're a buyer, now if you're a seller, and the privacy issue is a big deal too, because a lot of people don't want people to know what's going on with their estate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because you file everything with the court. It's complete, you know, transparency in terms of what's going on and who's involved, and everyone gets a copy of everything.
Yeah.
What you've got going on, whether it's a will or no will situation, everyone's getting a copy of what's in the estate on date of death, what's happening throughout the administration process, and then who's getting what at the end.
Right. Exactly. So we're kind of getting to the point where we're going to recommend you get a trust, but let's talk about other things. So joint tenancy.
Yes.
When my wife and I first bought our house years and years ago, we were initially a joint tenant.
Yes.
Because we didn't have any kids, and we felt, well, if something happens to me, you know, and it'll come right to you, I don't care.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, I'll go right to you. But a lot of people still have joint tenancy. They've never changed it over the years.
Yes.
And now they have their assets have increased dramatically, and they're writing these wills that say, well, I'm going to give this to this person. I'm going to give this to that person, not realizing they're in joint tenancy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important that you go to a trust attorney who is invested in making sure that your estate plan is fully funded and taken care of, because you need to look at how are these assets held before they're actually transferred into the trust. But no, the point with joint tenancy is joint tenancy on its own is actually not a bad idea at all, because the idea that's inherent with joint tenancy is that if two people own it, one dies before the other one, that surviving joint tenant is going to inherit 100%. So they don't have to walk into probate court. They don't have to deal with wills and trusts. It's considered operation of law. It goes to them.
Right.
You know, joint tenants have to own it equally, though. If you've got two people, it's 50-50. If you've got three, it's a third, a third, a third.
Yeah.
If you try to give someone 2% in joint tenancy, that's a fail.
Yeah.
So, and that happens. It really does.
So that would be a tenants in common situation.
Well,
you had the
sure,
third,
yes, the, tenants in common, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, with joint tenancy, the reason we go from joint tenancy to community property is because of perhaps a tax benefit.
Right.
So we can talk about that a little bit, too.
Now, so let's talk about tenants in common, okay, because like I said, we're going to talk about tenants in common after the break for the news. We're going to come back with Juliana Brockway of Brockway Law. And Juliana, what's your telephone number?
It is 757-7550 here in the 707.
Okay, say it once again slowly.
707-757-7550. Great.
Okay, we'll take a break, come back. Where with Juliana Brockway after the news? Right back.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
With at least 76 people dead in Northern California's Camp Wildfire, officials say there are nearly 1,300 people still unaccounted for, though some may be listed more than once. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey on what the final outcome could be.
I don't believe that it will be that high. We are still finding people. I think yesterday we were able to account for several hundred people. And as the night went on, I heard about more accounts of people who contacted us and advised us that they were safe and well.
Democratic Governor Jerry Brown says in an interview airing today that the Republican President Trump, in his words, has got our back, pledging to continue to help on the fires. It's hard to imagine that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed didn't know about the killing of Washington Post Saudi columnist Jamal Khashoggi, says Senator Roy Blunt, Missouri Republican, Blunt adding that he doesn't know if U.S. officials know that yet. Final manual recount results of the Florida Senate election are due today. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
KSRO.
If you're selling a home in Sonoma County, you know the fires have changed everything. It's more important than ever to have an agent who really knows the market. That's why you should call Mike Kelly.
It's a different landscape these days. You're dealing with insurance companies, lawyers, inspectors. I can help you get through all of this stuff and sell your home the right way with less hassle.
If you've been affected by the fires, you need the Mike Kelly difference. Let Mike use his Sonoma County resources and connections to get you through all the obstacles and his market knowledge to help you set the right price.
There'll be a lot of homes coming on the market, so now's the time to list yours. Show me your home and I'll show you three quick and easy tips to maximize the return on your investment, even if you don't use me.
If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Find Mike at MikeKelly.com or call Mike at 707-322-8503, 707-322-8503.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Rain possibly coming later this week. Today, though, mostly sunny at 68, 60 on the coast with still poor air quality. Mostly clear skies tonight. Low 37, 43 on the shores. Monday, a few clouds at 69, 61 in Bodega Bay. Tuesday, more of the same at 64. Rain could be coming on Wednesday. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. I think we're back. We're back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. It's the Real Estate Hour in studio with Juliana Brockway of Brockway Law, and she is an estate trust and...
I'm an attorney.
She's an attorney. But that's your specialty.
Yes, okay? Trust and Estates.
Mr. Trust and Estates. But I want, before we do that, I want to come up and see me today. I'll be at an open house at 5421 Cassandra Way. I've always loved that name, Cassandra. So exotic. Yes. Just over 2,000 square feet at tri-level, four bedrooms and 2.5 baths. Come up and see me. I'll be there 1 to 4 o'clock today. The price is $739. Totally impeccable property, incredible landscaping, really nice. What are you laughing about?
Is the house exotic?
It is a tri-level. That's kind of exotic these days.
It's a very neat house. It's very cool. Yeah. All right, smarty. This is engineer board fun we have here. Okay, so we had a question off the air.
Yes, the difference between joint tenancy and community property.
Okay. Yeah, this is important. I actually have three cases right now dealing with this issue.
Wow.
So joint tenancy, like I mentioned before, has that survivorship right so that you don't have to come to me necessarily. You do have to record something with the county, but you don't have to come to me to make sure that you actually now own the property after your spouse has died. Community property, we all think about it as husband and wife. It goes to me, it goes to you. One of us kicks the bucket, there it goes. But the reality is your deed needs to say community property with right of survivorship.
Uh-huh.
If that is left off, then you're coming to me and I'm going to court and I'm spending, you know, a chunk of change to ask the judge to commit the fact that the property from your spouse is supposed to come to you.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a will and you've got blended family and there's lots of children, then you know there's chances are we'll see kind of how this looks, but most likely you'll end up with your spouse's half, but you have to be able to talk to the judge about that first.
Will the judge try to take care of the children in that? Do they have a tendency to do that?
So the idea with community property is that is an asset that you commit that is between you, husband and wife. So there's sections of the probate code that state because it's community property and not a separate property asset, it's just going to go to the spouse.
Right.
Separate property is where you walk into court and say, this was my wife's separate property asset. She's passed away. There's no will. And now here we are, and I've got, you know, four of her kids over here. So we've got to share this.
Now, there's also the right of survivorship. Wasn't that the increase in basis also for?
Yes. So that's the tax thing. Yeah, that's the tax thing I mentioned, is that from joint tenancy to community property, that's where you're walking into possibly getting a step up in basis for capital gains purposes.
Right.
So you want to talk to your enrolled agent or your CPA about that.
Yeah, and that's a big deal, guys.
Okay? Absolutely.
You don't want to pay, you know, taxes on a huge gain, especially in the state of California.
Oh, gosh.
Where you've had your house for 30 years.
1960 Sonoma County versus today.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, which happens.
I know, and I've had to go back many, many years sometimes trying to get a cost basis, you know, for when they sold the death of the
grantor, whoever the other was, yeah.
And it's been somewhat challenging sometimes. Can you have one for 2002? I go, holy Toledo. So.
Oh, I had one for 19. I think it was 1980.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. We had to figure it out.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to do. But we can probably do them up to about 2000. So we've done them before. But so, and that's very critical, is that you need to understand that stepped up basis, guys, is invaluable, really.
Absolutely.
Because if your house is worth $400,000, you know, you bought it for, say, $200,000, and it's now worth $700,000, $800,000. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you have to pay that difference in the capital gains, that's a big chunk of change. Stepped up basis means that whatever the value is at the time of the death is the value you're going to now use as your new basis.
Mm-hmm.
So if you sell it for $800,000 a year down the road, you only have $100,000 capital gains to worry about. So
yeah,
we can kind of get in the bushes about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about the community property. So do you want to get into trust?
Sure.
Because that seems to be where the action is. Okay?
Yes.
In some alerts we should probably bring up is that the fire victims in October, a lot of people are finally settling, you know, a lot of their insurance claims.
Yes.
So they get this huge chunk of change. And believe me, the houses in Fountain Grove and the Mark West area, a lot of those homes were $1 million plus, $2 million. So they have all this money. They had the house in a trust.
Correct.
And you were chatting about this two things. If you refinance your home, okay, and you take that, which most lenders do, have you take it out of the trust, put it back in.
Yeah, some title companies are good about putting it back in, but a lot of times I will see these situations. I have one right now where someone refied back in the 1990s and forgot to put the asset back into their trust again.
Right.
And so they've effectively defunded it, defunded the trust, or at least have it now subject to a probate scenario.
Yeah. And the same thing with that settlement I was talking about. If you have that, say you've got $1.5 million or something to settle and you have it in your checking account or savings account, you got to get that where?
You have to get it into an account that is registered to the trust.
Right.
So you go down to Exchange Bank or whatever, and you set up that checking account, make sure it's titled to your trust, and then you make sure that asset is part of your trust. This is not just cash that you think of as insurance proceeds and you forget about it.
Right.
It's an amount of money that's subject to probate if you don't have it adequately prepared for.
Exactly, yeah. So I mentioned that too. In my Rotary Club, we had 10 members lose their houses.
Yes.
And I got up and I announced it because Bill Zohr, who's a fiduciary who we know very well, got up at our execs and said, hey, you know, here's something you got to be careful about.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit at my Rotary Club and I had like 10 people going,
yes, absolutely.
Really? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, because there's something happened to him on the way.
Well, I'm next door. My office is next door to Hanson & Miller.
Okay.
And so I get a lot of people walking in the door saying,
sure.
I think I own a home, but actually all I own is this lot. And I'm looking at them saying, yeah, but the lot might be worth over $150,000.
Yeah.
So we've got to talk about what do all these things mean.
So the $150,000 is a cutoff, is that correct?
That is your probate threshold for having to step into the court system if you don't have a trust in place.
Right. Okay. So just remember that, guys. If you've settled a claim, and a lot of people are just now settling, you know, I mean, they're getting bids that are just, people are going, no, I'm not going to build them.
You know, I will say, though, If you have that account out there and you just don't want to deal with your trust just yet, you can do a pay on death on the account. It's kind of I wouldn't say the poor man's way, but it's some place to kind of just hang your hat for now. Make sure you have a pay on death on the account.
Right,
you could do that too.
Okay.
It's not protective though, as far as trusts go.
Yeah. So let's talk about trust. Why does someone use a trust? Okay. I mean, we always say it's to avoid probate. Right, because that seems to be a lot of things. There's privacy issues. Is that correct?
That's true, of course. There's privacy issues. You know, you don't want everyone in your family perhaps to be inheriting from your estate. And, you know, in that sense, maybe you want to be able to have a trust in place that talks about who gets what and when.
Yeah.
Trusts are interesting. It's for a lot of my perspective, it's not necessarily about avoiding the cost of probate, although that is, you know, it's excessive. The reality is the cost is something that happens after you're gone. So it's your estate. It's the kids that are suffering that cost.
You care for your guy.
Yeah, I mean, technically, you know, you're not sitting there saying, I'm going to write this check at the end of the day. So it's a gift to your children and family.
Sure.
Hey, here we are walking into Christmas, you know. Give your children the gift of a trust.
You get to step the basis, you know, and there's a lot of great things. And if you're doing estate planning and you really love your children and you want to make sure they get what you've earned, that's the best way to go about it.
I have some kids walk in with their parents, and their parents are begrudgingly approaching this idea. And my thought is, why don't you give this as a gift to your parent? Go ahead and pay for it, because it's you not having to deal with this later.
Shrewd.
Because what a mess it could be. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. What a mess.
Yeah. No, it really could be.
Yeah. I think, you know, your living trust is going to also talk about if I become incapacitated, if I have Parkinson's.
Right.
Or what if you have a piece of property that you have a second wife that lives in, a second husband lives with you in this property, and you might co-own it, or perhaps you own it, but they're there. And let's say you die first. Are you expecting your kids to, out of the goodness of their hearts, make sure that you're spouse is able to live there?
And
who's going to pay for improvements, maintenance, taxes? How does that work?
Yeah.
So trust deal with those kinds of messy issues.
Sure. Yeah, because, you know, we have so many, I don't know if I want to say alternative forms or lifestyles, you know, where people, the relationships are just not mom and dad anymore, okay?
Of course.
Yeah, it could be mom and dad to dad, and a lot of people are not married. I mean, boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yes, lots of boyfriend, girlfriends. And there is no communal marriage here. We don't have the common law marriage here in California.
Lee Marvin thing.
A lot of people walk into my office and say, well, what we're called is a common law marriage. I'm saying, no, you're not. You can think that, and that's romantic in itself. But no, you are not.
We took a vow one day on the beach.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And that's beautiful. So let's set up your trust so that someone has rights. And along that line, a healthcare directive and a POA, because you're not a spouse. So what are you going to do about those things?
Yeah, there was a really... It was a TV movie, but it had I forget the actor's name, but she, Vanessa Redgrave, I think, and it was a gay relationship, and here her partner died, and it was her house, and so the kids came in and started selling all this stuff, and it was her stuff. They'd been together for 30 years or something like that. It was so sad to see it. And you want to avoid those kind of situations, you know, that's why the trust is so good.
Yes. I have
really set it up.
I have some same-sex clients that come through in their relationships, and they've been married for a while, and they've been in relationships for a long time, and I always ask them, you know, how are your families supporting your union? What are we dealing with a rogue sibling that's going to make a big stink finally?
Yeah.
You know, this is their chance after you're gone. So those are all things to address.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can speak to these kinds of issues with a lot of terminology and articularity in these documents. You can talk about, for this reason, I am protecting this person. Set out your intentions, right?
Yeah, I like it. Get that final jab in
when you're
gone.
Or just to set the intentions, because the court always cares about what was the intention of that person.
Sure.
They're gone now.
Well, let's talk about intent, because I had my Uncle Tom, who's since passed away, great guy, sold his house. He had had a trust in San Francisco. And when they came up, they bought a home in Santa Rosa and never put it into the trust.
Okay.
Never, you know, went through the process of doing that. But he did have a trust, and he had his funds in it, and, you know, his savings, all that type of thing. He passed away, so we tried to do what they call a Hegstat petition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And can you explain what that
sure.
is?
Sure. Hegstat is the name of the party in the case, so it's named after that. There's actually other renditions of it, too, as well. But that's really where you're telling the court, after this person's passed away, that... They had a trust. They did their best. They thought everything was taken care of and it was in place. But in reality, the asset was never actually titled to or registered to the trust. And so you have to go to court and you have to tell the court the intentions were there. Let's just get it back in the trust and pretend like this never happened.
Let's do that, Judge.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a tool. It's something that we do instead of probating because, you know, you're looking at maybe the difference between 5, 6, 7,000 and versus 20, 40, 50, who knows how many thousands, right?
Yeah.
And it's a tool that we look at. Really what you want to do, though, is if you've got your estate plan in place, you need to go and talk to an attorney at least every 5, 6 years. Double check that everything's funded. Something that my clients talk to me about is, you know, I have this schedule at the back of the document that says everything I own and intend to be in the trust. But at the end of the day, you got to think in terms of pink slips. Are your pink slips registered to the trust or are they not?
Mm-hmm.
Is your deed registered? Is the asset registered? Otherwise, the schedule is just an intention. Right? That trust is a contract where you show your intentions and you sign off on it.
Right.
But, you know, do you really want to fight with B of A?
No,
do you really want to fight?
So that's something you really got to consider, like we discussed earlier. People refinance. take their houses, you know, out of the trust because all lenders have this thing about trusts. What's with you lenders?
Yeah.
Anyway, so they make you do that. Then people forget to put them back in there, and it could have some dire consequences.
And but, they don't know. They don't know they're supposed to. They assume the title company is just going to kind of take care of things.
Yeah.
And
put it back where it was.
You know? Absolutely.
Yeah. We need to take a break. We do need to take a break. Good. See, the hours is flying by. I told you that would happen. So we're going to take a break really quick and come back with Juliana Brockway of Brockway Law. We're talking estates and trusts, how to take title, all that kind of good stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're going to come back and chat more about that when we return. This is the Real Estate Hour. Call the number 636-1350, 636-1350. Right back after these words.
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
Listen to KSRO on your smartphone or tablet on the TuneIn Radio app. Available for iPhones and Androids. Take KSRO with you on the go in the North Bay or anywhere in the country with the TuneIn Radio app. Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO. We're everywhere you are.
If you're selling a home in Sonoma County, you know the fires have changed everything. It's more important than ever to have an agent who really knows the market. That's why you should call Mike Kelly.
It's a different landscape these days. You're dealing with insurance companies, lawyers, inspectors. I can help you get through all of this stuff and sell your home the right way with less hassle.
If you've been affected by the fires, you need the Mike Kelly difference. Let Mike use his Sonoma County resources and connections to get you through all the obstacles and his market knowledge to help you set the right price.
There'll be a lot of homes coming on the market, so now's the time to list yours. Show me your home and I'll show you three quick and easy tips to maximize the return on your investment, even if you don't use me.
If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Find Mike at MikeKelly.com or call Mike at 707-322-8503, 707-322-8503.
Traffic on the fives, weather six times an hour, Sonoma County's morning news with Pat Kerrigan on FM News Talk, KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. This is the Real Estate Hour, and I want to remind you once again about an open house I'll have today at 5421 Cassandra Way. It's up in Larkfield, and it's a tri-level Condiotti kind of design, really a classic. People love those tri-levels because of the fan rooms downstairs, and but you can actually see it from the kitchen, so it's kind of a cool thing. Fireplace. Solar heating in the property, their bill was a negative $29 to PG&E. Would you just like to have a negative bill to PG&E right now?
Oh, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah. How does that work? Anyway, well, but Ron Doris.
Who knows what's going to happen in the next year?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe they'll be out of business.
I know.
Gosh, maybe they'll be in receivership.
I know.
Gosh, it's just like
it's amazing.
Turn around. But it's so ubiquitous. I mean, there was an interesting article I read one time in the New Yorker about electricity. Mm-hmm. And it was like a five-page report about – or excuse me, five-magazine report about electricity saying they don't really know like how – what it causes, all these different things. And it's like everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
It's like one of the things that will not have at my house is one of those automatic chargers for your cell phone. You bring them in. It's in the air.
Yes.
You know, I'm going, no. Yes. I'm still kind of freaking out about that. Anyway.
Draw the line somewhere.
They got to draw the line somewhere. Maybe there is truth of that lady who called and said, you know, cell phones are.
Well, my mom still says, get away from the microwave. You never know.
I got a great story. I can't go into it now. Anyway. But, okay. So, Juliana, we're talking about how to take title in real estate. And you work a lot with, like, estates and a trust. Mm-hmm. So, we have, like we said, you know, the boyfriend-girlfriend scenario. What do you recommend there? You should say, okay, look, we got to set it up. So, guys, this is what I – what do you usually recommend in those kind of scenarios?
Yeah, I just had this a few weeks ago.
Especially if either party is bringing in, say, a large amount of money for, like, an inheritance. I mean, I'm putting $200,000 down. The guy goes, hey, thanks a lot. You know, appreciate that.
Yeah.
So how should you handle that?
Well, I think that one of the options out there. One resource is to look at it as kind of a business situation.
Right.
So you can create a house trust that really just has the house in it and talks about what happens when. But I do think that sometimes it's a good idea to talk to a real estate attorney and kind of think about, okay, who's putting in what and how do we have a contract based on the ifs and ends?
Right.
If we separate this many years out, if you do this, who's paying the mortgage?
Sure.
Communication is so important, and it's hard for people to do that, let alone having some kind of verbal idea of what's going on. Really, it should be committed to writing is, what does this look like? But commonly I do, for instance, let's talk about siblings who all inherit a piece of property.
Uh-huh.
It's income bearing. It's a fantastic idea to keep it in the family. But now they're all kind of business owners together, and they didn't necessarily want to be in business together.
Yes.
So maybe the idea is to commit it to some kind of house trust so that the house trust dictates we are the owners. This is who's in charge. This is where the income goes. This is how we pay for improvements, maintenance, taxes.
Because
otherwise, all of a sudden, the roof goes in and you're thinking, well, wait, I need the money this month. And your brother's thinking, no, we fixed the roof so we can have money for the next year.
Yeah.
So those are things that come up. I also think that, you know, LLCs are important for investment properties and whatnot. So there's different ways to look at things. And if you talk to your attorney, they're going to sit down and say, you know, in this scenario, you might want to look at this.
Right. LLC is...
Oh, yes. Limited liability company.
You don't use any acronyms.
Oh, I'm sorry. Limited liability company, you have members of the company.
Right.
So perhaps the trust is the member, and then the asset belongs in the LLC. And so technically, the house belongs to the LLC.
Sure.
The LLC belongs to the trust. So it cleans things up a lot. And that way, you can protect yourself.
Yeah. And the person who's developing the trust initially can spell these things out, anticipate what's going to go on in the future. I'm leaving you six buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, Phil, you get this building, Alice, you get this building.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully don't put them together in the same building, but if they do, make sure you spell out what's going to go on with it. That's the power of a trust, right?
Exactly. You know, you have to really think about that in instances when you and your husband have for years now developed, you know, you have this portfolio of real estate. Duplexes, triplexes, and you've got four kids.
Right.
And the four kids that are inheriting, and they might have different ideas about who wants what house, who wants what property.
Yep.
So your trust can also kind of get ahead of those things. I'll sit my clients down and say, so do your kids think they want to just sell all of this, or just does one of them really want the duplex?
Yeah.
So we have those kinds of conversations so we can set things up so that at the end of the day, after you're gone, hopefully you guys can just talk about, are we taking an asset in kind? Are we receiving the house as the actual asset from the trust?
Right.
Or is someone selling it and then liquidating it? Another reason to avoid probate, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Another reason to avoid probate.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, you know, the funeral arrangements, too. I had a friend of mine that unfortunately lost his son to cancer, and they didn't – nothing was done. They were so not really in denial. They just didn't want to, you know, believe that their son could possibly die of cancer.
Sure.
So they never went and did any work beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So here they're in, you know, and they always say when you're grieving, you end up spending way too, probably much more money.
Mm-hmm.
So the trust can really determine what you want to do with it, you know.
Well,
you want to be cremated to put in a cannon and blown out in a space
someplace, my goodness.
You know, why not,
you know. Well, there's some rules about that, I think.
Oh, what the
where
heck?
where the remains can go.
I'll talk to Elon Musk and I'll go up with this space.
Oh, there you go. Right? Yeah. Maybe it'll be less expensive
yes.
if you're in ash form.
Yeah. Pop it out there. There'll be this cloud of my quarter on the universe forever.
That sounds amazing.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
No, that's it. Now that's another business.
That is actually. That's going to be a tough one.
That's two. Yeah,
so that speaks to an estate plan. So let's be clear. An estate plan is your trust. You've got these deeds that we take care of to fund the trust with your property. Then you've got a healthcare directive and a power of attorney.
Right.
The healthcare directive is where you tell your family, do I want to be cremated or buried?
Right.
Have I prepaid? Do I have a membership with Neptune Society, et cetera?
Right. Uh-huh.
And then you tell them when to pull the plug. That's all in there,
right?
And that's really important if you have children that might be feuding and you want to make sure someone is the one that talks to the doctor and says, I'm supposed to receive.
Yeah.
I call the shots.
Yes.
It's very important. Also, if you have children that are feuding, the ashes are handed over at one point. And if you want all of the children to have that ability, to have that closure, to scatter some ashes, we need to get ahead of that.
Yeah.
I have a sad probate where one of the sisters took the ashes and ran.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, talk about a hard time trying to get some of that back.
Really? Yeah. She did?
Oh, the quote back from her was, I don't have them anymore. So
oh,
these are
gosh.
Real things that happen. And if you just talk to someone and take a minute, talk about the pain. I mean, I always look at it from a perspective of my practice is about... I look at how the litigation falls out. My practice is about how do we keep these families together, if we can, after mom and dad are gone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a great point. Yeah, and really, it's sometimes you just need to have those frank discussions with your kids and say, okay, look, I ain't living forever, you know, and this is what mom and I want to do, and, you know, if I go before, then this is what we do. If she goes before, this is what we're going to do, and this is how I want, you know, these things handled.
Yes, and that's actually the perfect opportunity to look at your children and say, are you ready to be the trustee, the manager of the trust, the person in charge?
That's the big question, okay, because then we talk about, let's talk about fiduciaries, because fiduciaries, I personally have a professional fiduciary in my trust, because so explain to us what a professional fiduciary does.
Let's talk
does.
About that. Yeah. So let's think about the old trust. You've got mom and dad, and then mom and dad said, well, my children were born in this order and the son's the oldest, so he's in charge, regardless of if he lives in Alaska and is off the grid, right? So one of the options that a lot of people are turning to this, these days is there's two formats. There's corporate fiduciaries, and then you have private fiduciaries. Right. Corporate fiduciaries are banks, institutions, investment companies, etc. They charge a certain amount. Perhaps they have a minimum. Sure. Then you have private fiduciaries, and there's a huge network of them in California, especially in our community where we have such retirement-rich area, right? So we've got these private fiduciaries that for a fee will take over that process. They are the person nominated in your document to step in, gather the assets, take care of any taxes and bills, file the tax returns, and make sure that the assets go accordingly to, according to your wishes, let's be clear, in the trust, go in that format to the beneficiaries that are designated by you.
Right.
So they're hired. They're hired in. Yep. But perhaps your children don't have the time. I mean, how often do I hear my clients tell me, my son is a doctor, my daughter works and she's got four kids, my son is a single dad. They don't have time to step in and maybe take over all of these accounts. Perhaps you are someone who does not utilize a house investment firm, and instead you've got stocks all over the place that are maybe certificate forms still and not book entry. Now you've got your son looking at this stack of papers and he's got to tell all these companies what's going on with the use of an attorney. Maybe it's going to cost a little bit more. So it's definitely a good, viable, you can look at a professional fiduciary. I have clients often who come in and say, I don't have any children. And it's not an, it's kind of hit them in that moment. And they look at me almost apologetically that they haven't prepared. And I say to them, it's fine. This is part of your life. And there are people out there to help you. So then I usually give them a list and I say, go interview. Go forth and interview. Talk to these people. Find out what they're about. Because here's the caveat. If you become incapacitated, this person you're hiring is going to step in and they're going to figure out what level of care you need. They're going to find out which nursing home is appropriate for you. They are going to make sure that your funds can cover you for as long as possible in the lifestyle to which you've become accustomed as much as possible. So that is kind of the issue, is that there's one thing is after death, the administration where they step in and actually administer, but then there's before death when they step in while you're alive. And that's a tough one.
That
is a tougher one.
Yeah, it really is. And the fiduciaries we work with, and I know quite a few, and I'm sure you do, that they're really, many of our retired business people, so they know what they're doing. I mean, there was one gentleman I worked with when I first started working with fiduciaries who was like a forensic. You know, he prided himself on going to an estate and digging and digging and digging and finding out some remarkable things. You know, he used to tell me stories. I go, are you kidding me?
Oh, and
it was just like you find out that people maybe they look like they're threadbare. They're your neighbors. And it turns out they have $3 million in T-bills.
Well, you know, and, just we're crazy. So private. And I mean, people were private before, but now with identity theft and all these other issues, we're even more private, or we try to be. So can you imagine everything that you have hidden? I mean, we've got clients that hide things all over their house, right? And you've got a fiduciary that steps in, and now he's charged with going through that house and finding out everything that he needs to make sure it goes where it's supposed to.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's a scenario.
That's a real tough one. That's a tough one. Well, look, we could keep talking, but we can't. We got to get out of here. So thank you for coming in on a Sunday morning. I appreciate
that.
Okay?
Thank you so much, Mike. My pleasure.
Yeah. Once again, your name and number, and then and your all your goodies.
Of course. It's Juliana Brockway at Brockway Law, Trusts and Estates, 757-7550.
Great. Thanks for coming down. I appreciate it.
Yes.
All right, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, if you missed anything, you can go to the podcast, which will be up at Joe Wynn, probably about an hour.
Next couple hours,
and then you can go ahead and download it and listen to our lovely conversation. So come by and see me today. I'll be at 5421 Cassandra Way. Price is $729. I'll be there from 1 to 4 o'clock. It's a tri-level condiati, about 2,000 square feet. Hope to see you there. This has been the Real Estate Hour. Have a great Thanksgiving. Next week, Christmas story. We start the saga again. See you next week.
You've been listening to the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Join Mike every Sunday morning at 9 for tips on buying and selling your home. Call in and ask your questions direct. Don't forget to check in daily with The Real Estate Hour's official blog at therealestatehourblog.com. Mike Kelly on The Real Estate Hour, Sunday mornings on KSRO and KSRO.com.